Hello and welcome to the 25th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. My name is TJ Deitch. I'm your host and I run poppapa.com. I'm going to apologize right off the bat. My voice might sound a little weird. I'm congested. My nose is running. I don't really know what's going on, but it's just one of those continual drip and sneeze kind of things. So might have to cut out a lot of gross stuff in this episode, but I'll do my best to do that so you don't have to hear it. But my voice might still sound a little weird. A little nasally, a little hoarse. Again, I apologize for that. I don't know about you guys, but it's still pretty nice here. It's still a little warm for my tastes, but, you know, we'll get to fall eventually, I guess. And we decided to take advantage of that nice weather this weekend by going first on Saturday to a thing called New Windsor Community Days, which has been held every year that we've lived here, which is like 6 or 7 years at this point. But we've always been out of town or had company over or something like that, so we haven't gone. We decided to go this year because, you know, we could. And after running a bunch of errands and Lucy getting a nap, we went in the evening. And it was pretty great. They had some vendors. They had some food. I got a gyro, which I'm always excited about. And it looked like a legit one as far as I could tell, so that was good. And Lucy loves running around and doing different things. They had a couple of those, you know, inflatable bounce houses. Now, when I was a kid, my uncle actually owned one of those that he would rent out. But on weekends when he wasn't renting it out, he would bring it up to my grandparents' cottage and we got to use it. So quite a few weekends it was there, at least in my memory, it was there a lot. And it was just so much fun to jump around in there. I never had a trampoline as a kid, but I always wanted one. And it's, you know, the same basic thing, but you can get hurt a lot less easily in a bounce house. So it was fun to always play on that. Lucy loves them too. And there were two different ones that she went on. The first one was just, you know, your basic bounce house, but it had like a slide built into it and a couple other things you could like run through like an obstacle course. And I was a little worried. I mean, she just went in there by herself and there was probably like 7 or 8 other kids in there all running around going crazy. And it was funny watching them because some kids just liked running through the things and bouncing and jumping, while others liked jumping and like landing on other stuff and flying all over the place. And it wasn't super well monitored, but Lucy didn't seem to mind. She was really focused on the slide. We kept kind of seeing her little head bob up and down, go down around and then appear in the slide and then go down. And she, you know, she had fun and didn't get hurt or anything, but we wanted to move on. So we said, come on. And she actually came out when we asked her to, which was also great. Next to that, there was a really tall, like high incline slide. We decided to skip past that one and go to one that had, it's kind of a combination of the two other ones, but on a smaller scale. So you went kind of around three sides of a square and there were all these different things you could run through and go under and that kind of thing. She did that fine. Up again, these stairs and then down a slide. And she did that twice. And there was a little girl, much like when we were at the place in Maine a couple weekends ago, or last weekend, who stayed right there and helped her out the whole time. She made sure that Lucy was good going, you know, through the tunnel, through the little boppy things, and then going up the stairs. And then when these other two kids who weren't really paying attention and didn't know Lucy was there came kind of tearing up, they were like, come on, let's go. And she was like, no, slow down. There's a baby. So I thought that was awesome. And she actually waited around to see if Lucy wanted to go a second time without saying anything to us. She was just there. And I went to the bathroom or to get something from the car. By the time I came back, Em told me that she had waited in line, waited around in case Lucy wanted to get back in line. And then when she did, she hopped in line behind her and helped her out. So it's just really cool seeing stuff like that. And there was a band and she danced a little bit and she just loved running around. And then at the end of it, there were fireworks, which she loved. Oh, and there was a man selling like puppets, the kind that have 4 strings going up to like basically a cross, a wood cross, and then you move it back and forth for their legs and forward and backwards for their head and body. She was really into those. We actually sat near that guy's tent and she was like really wanting to get one, but we figured it's just a little too early because it's these thin strings. We figured it'd get all tied up and just didn't think it was the best time for that, but down the road for sure. And then Sunday we decided to go to New Paltz and just walk around a little bit. Nothing's really going on. It feels like 2 summers back, there were a lot of events planned, and maybe we're just gone those weekends, so I'm not looking, but every time I go to the 7 or 8 different community and county websites and event calendars that I check, like, nothing's really happening. But we just went to New Paltz and walked around a little bit. We had lunch at a place called P&G that we've been to a few times, and I ate way too much. I had a burger melt with macaroni and cheese on top of it. huge mistake, especially after drinking a pot of coffee in the morning and then having another coffee later on and two beers with lunch. That made kind of a weird sandwich in my belly that led to a nap later on. But we walked through this little, like, town square type thing where they do a little farmer's market, and Lucy stopped and danced because this one band was playing. Just these really earnest, like, college-age kids playing what sounded like old 20s and 30s music. But, man, so earnest. The only kind of earnest that really wears well is on 20-year-olds, as far as I'm concerned. At least at that level and intensity. Because otherwise it just comes off as, well, you gotta calm down, guy. But they did great. They were singing really well. And Lucy got a big kick out of dance. And we just kind of walked around a little bit. Just wanted to be outside because it was nice out. And we wanted to go over and get some fiddlesticks for breakfast, but they were packed because they remodeled or repainted or something over the past couple of weeks, and I only got a glimpse inside, and they definitely painted and it looks nice. I don't really know what else they did. I don't know if they got new tables or changed out anything else, but I'm definitely curious to get in there and see what they've got going on now. Plus, I just like eating there. It's my favorite restaurant, probably of all time, minus like a good steakhouse, although I've had really good steak there. Anyway, let's see. Let's go into a little bit of what's new with Lou. She's been shushing us a lot lately, which drives my wife crazy, but doesn't bother me too much. And I don't know if she understands how kind of condescending and off-putting it is, but she does it at the perfect times for it to be the most condescending that it could be. You know, you'd be like, Lucy, can you pick up your toys? And she'll just turn, put her finger to her lips and go, shh. And she does that, like, head cock. It's funny. I get a kick out of it, but like I said, my wife is getting a little sick of it, which I can understand, because it's, you know, reminiscent of the kind of snottiness that you expect from older kids, but coming from a baby, but it's obviously not meant to be that snotty. It just comes off that way. Also on Saturday, before we went to the community day fair, I went to the storage unit and put a lot of things away, which made space in our house, of course, and also reintroduce me to some of my boxes that I have in there, which I haven't really been into in a couple years. Because we really packed a lot up after we found out Emma was pregnant, because you can't have, like, the action figures that I have out and about with a little kid, especially if, like, one falls. You know, they put everything in their mouths. You don't want, like, a head to pop off while she's gumming it. But I did find a toy that I brought back for her, and it's actually a Spider-Man toy, because she loves Spider-Man. It's part of a group of toys that I think was called Famous Covers. I'll look it up and put a note in the show notes for this episode over on poppapa.com. But it's basically like an 8-inch tall. It's kind of like Amigo, those toys from the 70s. It's about 8 inches tall and it has a cloth costume. But I was surprised. The figure underneath is really well articulated. I actually got this as a present when I was in grade school, maybe high school, from my aunt and uncle. And I had it, and I remember having it out, because especially after I got to Toy Fair, it reminded me of the Mego Spideys that we used in the magazine, which I still need to get one, because he was the star of Toy Fair, an iconic character, and I just really need to get my hands on one of those guys, because, you know, I did Toy Fair. I worked on TTT. I want it as like a little trophy that I can put on a shelf. Anyway, I gave this toy to Lucy, and at first she didn't like it because his head looks a little funny, because it's a cloth costume that you can actually take on and off, and it's got some Velcro in the back, so you can open it and take it off. And he's got like a normal head underneath, and then that weird naked man doll body underneath that. And at first she didn't even want to like hold it or touch it or anything, and then I showed her that it was fine, and so she was okay. And then, you know, I was like, do you want to give Spider-Man a hug? And she's like, no. Do you want to give Spider-Man a high five? No, you do it. And then we were playing with this toy the next night, and her mom was right here. And so Lucy was telling my wife to do all the things that I was telling her to do the day before. So she was like, give Spider-Man a hug? High five? So it's just funny that she, like, now thinks that that's what you do with a Spider-Man. The other adorable thing that she does is she'll put him on the armrest of the couch and put a blanket over him so he can go to sleep. That was, like, the first interaction she actually had with him that wasn't seemingly terrified. So that's really cute. And last night she went to bed at, you know, 10 or whatever. And for some reason she woke up and came out around, like, 11:45. And I was like, okay, do you want to sit with me or do you want to go to bed with mommy? And she was like, sit with you. And then she looked over and saw that I had moved the blanket off of the Spider-Man action figure. And she started freaking out. I mean, she was tired and groggy and all that. So that's why I think she was so upset. But it was just kind of funny and kind of sad that she got, like, really cry-level angry about there not being a Spider-Man toy under a blanket. But I, you know, replaced it, and she was fine, and she wound up going back and in the room with my wife and sleeping in the bed the whole night. So it's cute seeing that. It's, our bed feels like it's getting a little crowded. The cat still loves sleeping on my side, which is getting more and more annoying every day, especially when it's hot, because I run hot, I sweat a lot. I don't need a cat adding another whatever degrees covered in fur down by my feet. And my wife, like, curls up when she sleeps, so there's plenty of room under her. I don't know why he insists on sleeping near me, where I move a lot when I sleep, too, and I kick him. Not on purpose, but it happens. I just want him to move over. Leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep. I get little sleep as it is, of course. Part of that's my fault, because I'm staying up watching stuff, but that's neither here nor there. Kind of a What's New with Lou TV Time crossover event. She's enjoyed watching That 70s Show with me still. We're up to season 4. I've got the DVDs up until the second to last season, because I didn't like the last season. But it's also on Netflix if you're interested. It's so funny, because at this point she's seen almost every episode. And she knows the theme song. She'll kind of sing along to it. And she also knows all the characters and talks to them like they're her friends. So, you know, Eric and Donna will be on the screen. She, Eric, no, no, no. Donna, no, no, no. Friends, wait, wait, wait. And she really seems to like Jackie. And so she's kind of always talking to Jackie. And then I'll be like, which one is that? I don't know. Kelso? Kelso, yes, yes, yes. And so she's kind of figuring it out. So it's kind of funny. Some of the stuff on that show is not appropriate. But she doesn't understand anything. She especially doesn't understand the literal meanings of things. So she's not going to understand innuendo at this point. Because there's no context. And that's how innuendo works. Oh, boy. Let's see. What else? I myself have been watching The League on Netflix Instant when I am alone, because that's definitely not appropriate for the baby. I don't know if you've seen this show. It's about a group of friends who are in a fantasy football league, but that's not important. Like, my wife has watched it, and she's not that into football, and I'm not even that into football. I've never done fantasy football, and I only really follow my own team and barely at that. I just like watching it and finding out how they do in the games. Speaking of which, I'm very excited for football to start this week. Anyway, these guys are really mean to each other at times, but there are also things in the show that ring really true, because two of the guys are dads, and, you know, without getting into any of the details, because I don't know if they're appropriate for the rating I have on iTunes or whatever, but it's just really funny because, you know, you'll be watching and laughing and shaking your head and being like, yeah, that's true. That's awful, but it's true. So it's kind of a fun show to kind of watch and get into that mindset a little bit when the kids are in bed, of course. All right, I'm going to do something that I don't think I've ever done on the show, but is pretty common if you listen to radio in the morning or on your way home from work, and that is talk about an article I saw on the internet. This one is written by a guy named Mike Julianel, and it's on Huffington Post, but he also runs a blog called dadandberry.com that I've not checked out, but I probably will after reading this article, which is called 10 Ways Living with a Toddler is Like Being in Prison. Now, after a couple of funny paragraphs with lines like the necessity of getting a toddler home for a nap, as well as the need to get them to bed for the night before the sun has gone down, can cripple your day. Being sequestered in your home for a few hours is usually better than dealing with a public meltdown from an overtired toddler, so sometimes the trade-off is worth it. Still, raising a toddler can be rather suffocating. That is something that, even if you love your kid like I do, and I do, it's something that you deal with every day, especially if you're a stay-at-home parent, which it sounds like he might be as well. Now, this is a really funny list. Obviously, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and you gotta have a sense of humor, so if you don't have one, I don't know what to tell you, really. So, here are the top 10 ways having a toddler is like being in prison, with commentary by me. The first is, you can't do anything without constant supervision. Yep. They're constantly looking at you, watching you, trying to see what you're up to, and usually trying to meddle or also insert themselves in that situation. And if you're trying to type, let's say, like I was earlier this morning, it can be difficult to get what you need done when a child is trying to occupy the exact same space that you do. The second one is, every morning begins with someone screaming at you to wake up. We haven't had this problem as much anymore since we gave her a big girl bed, But that was definitely the case around 5 a.m. I'd hear the scream, have to go in, get her out, put her in bed. Now my wife wakes up before I do anyway. So she'll take care of Lucy in the morning when she wakes up, and then I get up when she's got to go to work. The third one is, you're always terrified something bad will happen when you're in the shower. Yeah, I talked about that on one of the episodes, I think, of coming out of the shower and hearing screaming and how bad that feels. And even now when I take a shower when she's awake, it's like, before I go in, I make sure that all the knives are pushed way back or in the sink. There's no footstools that she could use to get near knives or anything bad, and I scan all the kind of higher surfaces just to make sure that there's nothing that she can get in trouble with. Number four is, you're always terrified someone is going to crawl into your bed in the middle of the night. I've already talked about this. This one's actually not anything that scares us. I wish we had a bigger bed at this point, but, you know, we don't have rooms that are big enough, and we don't have money to buy a king-size bed, but if we could at this point, I would get one, because I don't know when we're going to get to the point where there is not a child and an animal sleeping in our bed. Five is, mealtime is fraught with tension. We actually don't have this one anymore, and haven't for probably about a year. She's been really good at eating and going out to restaurants. There was a time there where she was a bit of a terror, but we never really fully stopped going. We just kind of switched up when we would go and what kind of places we would go to. And she just got used to it. I'm a strong believer in the idea that you've got to train your children how to behave in certain situations. Now, somebody might throw that in my face when I say that I'm not going to take her to the movies for a while, but that's mainly because I don't think that she would enjoy that kind of situation. But my wife is more interested in trying that than I am, so we'll see how that one goes. The next one is, someone's always watching you go to the bathroom. Now, this is one I haven't talked about on here as much, I don't think, but yeah, we've got a pretty much open door policy for the kids, so when we're in the bathroom, the door usually gets kicked in if you even bother closing it during the day, which I don't always do because what's the point? Plus, I mean, you know, we don't want to give her any, like, weird hang-ups about human bodies and whatnot so early in life, so it's just kind of a whatever thing. But it definitely took some getting used to, that's for sure. The next one is, you never get to choose the movie, and then it's hard to hear it over all the hooting and hollering. Yeah, again, this one's not so bad for me. I mean, we definitely watch the same movies over and over again, or at this point, the same Netflix shows. She's just been going through and picking different things that she wants to watch based on the tiny little icon that pops up when we watch it through our Blu-ray player. But since I'm home when she naps and I stay up later than my wife and her, I do get my movies in, so that's not so bad for me. The next one is pretty funny. You're always terrified someone is going to punch, bite, tackle, stab, or attack you with some kind of makeshift weapon. Yeah, man, they're really strong and they don't even know it. And even when they're not trying to be mean, at least in Lucy's case, she's still really strong. Like, just the other day, she does this thing I hate where, if you're laying down on the couch, she'll get up on there and then, like, step on you to push herself up and then constantly, like, fall on her butt on you, which we call a butt bomb, and all these other things. And it just hurts because she's not a huge kid, but that's a lot of meat and muscle moving around on top of you and then clomping and then clanging down on top of you even more so. So I really hate that because I don't like being a literal doormat for her play. That one, and then, like, the toy, the weapons thing, like, you never know. She got a broom one time and wasn't even paying attention and was trying to sweep and wound up whacking me in the face, but, you know, that one's not too bad. I think I've made this reference before, but it always reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons. It's from a fairly early season, I think, where Maggie wants to ban Itchy and Scratchy because she thinks it's too violent, because Maggie has started trying to recreate the ways that they attack each other, like stabbing Homer and all this stuff. And there's always a fear that that might happen. Number nine is, contraband like booze, chocolate, and adult entertainment must be smuggled in and consumed in secret. This one's pretty funny. She understands what beer is, I guess, and understands that she's not allowed to have it, but it's something that mommy and daddy drink, mostly daddy, and it's not a big deal. Sometimes soda, like when we get it from the store or, you know, have it in a 2-liter or whatever, that's kind of intriguing to her, and I think she snuck a few sips, but obviously we don't want her drinking soda. I almost wish I didn't drink soda, but I'm kind of addicted to it, I think, so I can't really ever cut it out of my life. Plus, if you're trying to watch your weight, it is a good appetite suppressant. That's a little tip that might not be super healthy in and of itself. Things like chocolate, ice cream, all of those, like, you really got to watch when you want to eat it because you might wind up sharing it. So, like, when my wife and I have ice cream just from, you know, the carton in the freezer, it's like, well, sometimes you give her some, and sometimes you just wait until she goes to bed, and then you have it yourself because you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to have to feed her, and you don't then want to have to clean up an ice cream covered baby, which is always a chore. As far as the adult entertainment goes, I mentioned, you know, watching the league, and because I worked from home before we had the baby, I was definitely used to enjoying whatever entertainment I wanted to whenever I wanted to. If I wanted to watch a horror movie or if I wanted to watch an action movie, I would just throw it on. But now the TV is mostly dominated by cartoons and Disney Channel kids doing wacky things. So I don't have the freedom I used to, but I dream of it again someday. The last one, conjugal visits are hard to come by, require intense scheduling, and are often interrupted. I don't think that needs much more commentary. And then there's bonus. One way having a toddler is not like being in prison, and that is being placed in solitary confinement is a reward, not a punishment. And again, you know, obviously this is said with humor and there's tongue-in-cheek to it, but one of the reasons that I do stay up late is because I'm a night owl. But the other reason that I stay up late is because it just gives me time to be by myself in my house without having to watch or do anything that I don't want to. That's my me time. And we still haven't implemented me going to the coffee shop on the weekends to like get some writing done, but I've been doing it at night, which is kind of nice. And I'm actually doing pretty well with that. But when you're, and I've said this a million times, but when you're constantly paying attention to either your child or your work, it can just be frustrating. Not frustrating, but you know, you kind of lose yourself a little bit and you want to do something that you're going to like. And back when I was freelancing from home and not doing the dad thing, you know, before the kid came, I would actually find myself at night, like, not sure what to do with myself. Because when you've got the whole day, and even when you're working, I can throw a movie on, no problem, and still focus on my work and get it done and all that. I know some people can. I've talked to them, and I feel bad for them. But, like, if you've watched the movie that you wanted to watch and maybe thrown a couple episodes of a certain show on while you work, and then you played video games at lunch and did whatever, like, by the end of the day when you've got that nighttime, like, after my wife would go to bed, I'd be like, huh, I don't know what to do with myself. And I wish I had done more writing in that time, but I didn't. So that's where that is. Again, this is a definite tangent, but if I could give myself one piece of advice via time travel, like go back to college or whatever, I would tell myself to take advantage of the time that I had before I had so many commitments to actually like sit down and write, because it's not like it just happens, you know. So if there are any young wannabe writers out there, that is my advice to you. Write as much as you can, because at some point you're going to start getting a job or a family, and they're going to take up a lot of your time, and you're just going to be more tired than you are now. And you've got a lot more energy than you do at 20 than you do at 30. That I know for sure, especially when you have a kid. And if you want to read the full article that I just talked about, head on over to the show notes, and I'll have the link so you can check it out if you're interested or want to pass it along to somebody. Or you could just recommend the show, because that would be great, and then I would have more listeners, which would be cool. All right, well, I'm trying to think of anything else coming up that we've got going on. My parents are coming for the weekend, which we're looking forward to. They're driving most of the way Friday, spending the night in Pennsylvania, and then finishing up Saturday. I've got a nice dinner planned for Saturday that I'm not going to say here because they listen, and I don't want to spoil it. And also, Saturday is the first day of college football, which I'm very excited about. I haven't talked about it because 25 episodes doesn't go back to football season at this point, but I am a big Notre Dame football fan, and I am a big Pittsburgh Steelers football fan. I don't really follow other sports too much, except for X Games and a few other things like that on TV every now and then, but I am very excited for this. I know it makes me sound like a fanatic weirdo, but weekends just don't feel the same without football, and now it's starting to get a little bit cooler. It's kind of an overcast day today. It rained earlier. We had a bit of a cool Sunday morning as well. That just makes me think and feel football. I just want to watch it. And the nice thing about being a Notre Dame fan is that they have a deal with NBC, so like all their games are televised on that channel, which is perfect. And then the bad part about being a Steelers fan, especially in New York, is that, you know, I don't see hardly any games unless they're playing the Giants or the Jets, or they're doing the Monday night football game or the Sunday night game, because, you know, there's the Giants and the Jets. there's basically only so many slots in the game and so many games, and it just becomes less and less likely. Plus, I don't know how this CBS lockout thing is going to affect us. We do have Time Warner Cable. At the moment, we have like a Starz Family movie channel filling in, but I can't remember what kind of football they had. I will be totally bummed out if it does cut into the amount of football that I can watch. That would suck. Actually, speaking of that movie channel, I'm going to get into the Pop Pop of the Week. This is a bit of an unconventional one because it's actually an uncle and not a biological father. But this one's going to Uncle Ben, as played by Martin Sheen in The Amazing Spider-Man. Just reviewed this movie the other day on UnitedMonkey.com. There'll be a link, or you can just head over to United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com to check that out. But to briefly summarize what I said over there, I wasn't very excited about another Spider-Man movie because there was only 5 years between Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man. They're doing the whole reboot thing, and they were doing the origin thing, and it was just like, oh, do we really need to do this again? Doesn't everybody already know how Spider-Man came to be? Even if you're going to go a different direction or go younger or whatever, skip that part and move on. We actually started the movie about 10, 15 minutes in and missed the actual spider biting Peter thing. And got into the him having powers and trying to explore them, and also having like good things happening in his life, and then that kind of getting to his head and forgetting to help out his aunt and uncle, which of course leads to spoiler if you've never ever seen anything with Spider-Man in it, which probably isn't anyone. But Uncle Ben winds up getting killed by a guy that Peter could have stopped, but he didn't because he was feeling angry at somebody. Now, in this movie, he is trying to buy a milk. He's 2 cents short. The clerk is being a jerk to him. And then he's like, fine, whatever, and he leaves. And then the guy after him in the store wants to rob it and does, runs away. And the clerk comes out and he's like, come on, kid, help me out. Let's get this guy. And he's like, it's not my problem. And then, of course, Uncle Ben is around the corner, tries to stop this guy because the clerk is yelling, stop that guy, and he gets shot and dies on the street. But I really liked this version of Uncle Ben. I don't really remember the one from the first movie. I really need to go back and watch that one. But overall, I enjoyed Amazing Spider-Man more than those three movies that Sam Raimi did. And I appreciated his character because there's a lot of depth there. And a lot of that comes from the comic books, you know, to give everybody their due. It's obviously a character that's been done in flashback and in other kinds of stories a lot, so there's a lot to choose from, and there's a lot of meat on that character, even though he doesn't really last that long as far as appearances go. But in this version, you know, you're dealing with a younger Peter. Like I said, he's got an ego on him because he's got these powers, and that goes back to what Stan Lee started in Amazing Fantasy 15 back in the day. And it's just kind of brought up and modernized. And Uncle Ben understands that. And you find out through a message that he leaves Peter that he's really proud of him. And even though he kind of yells at him, there's a lot going on. And he understands that. It doesn't have anything to do with his powers. But, you know, he can empathize with him. And he's just trying to help this kid out. Because, you know, the reality of life is that we're all connected. And I don't mean that necessarily in like a spiritual way. But I mean, very few people can live in a complete bubble by themselves. So you interact with your parents and with any siblings you might have and your friends and your coworkers, and you have an effect on those people whether you like it or not. If you're kind of a down, dour jerk all the time, you bum those people out, or those people don't want to be around you, so they alter their day. And it's just, it's not, you know, you're not responsible necessarily for how everybody reacts to you, but you should understand that you do have an effect on the people around you. And unfortunately, Peter wasn't understanding that yet. And it's obviously the connection, the relationships, both, you know, shallow and deep, are pretty much perfectly encapsulated in this scene where somebody that he doesn't know gets hurt, the guy running the store, but he gets hurt in a job way, not in like a physical way. And Peter's like, I don't care. And then the guy goes out and hurts somebody that he does care about and does have a deep relationship with. And, you know, it kind of goes back. I think you should live a good life trying to do good. My friend's dad, Professor Jeff Grubb, used to tell us every day when he drove his son and I to school, the same line, which was do good and avoid evil. Now, I think that's a pretty good motto to live by, because you can't always control how other people react to things or what they do, but if you're always trying to do good and avoid evil, then I think you're going to wind up doing a pretty good job of being a human that's connected with other people. So for all that, and also for just being really well portrayed by Martin Sheen, who delivers all of this stuff, even though it's not necessarily said on screen, I give Uncle Ben the Pop Papa of the Week. For the Pop Papa seal of approval, I'm going to give it to Netflix's instant streaming service. Now, even though they couldn't work it out to keep Yo Gabba Gabba on, which totally bummed my kid out, and I still hear about it every now and then, I really like how they've got things set up. They've got such a great selection of kids programming, and the kind of neat thing that I mentioned earlier that I can do now is just turn it on in a certain section and scroll through, and Lucy can kind of pick what she wants to watch. This kind of spawned from me playing either Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or one of the Disney volumes that they have of cartoons on there. And after that was done, it was like, do you want to watch this? And she was like, yeah, let's watch that. And so with that going on, we've discovered shows like Pokeyo, which I don't know what really that is. I kind of turn that one off or on and go cook. But he's a little blue boy in a hat who hangs out with like an elephant and a monkey or something, or a duck. I don't know. And then there's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is like a CGI younger version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood characters. So that's kind of cool. Every now and then, you know, I'll be working and have that on and hear some voices that I recognize and look up. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. So it's kind of a neat continuation. And then that dog I talked about, Violet, that she loves, the toy stuffed animal dog, is in some like learning-based cartoons with Scout, which is the green boy dog. I'm not a super big fan of it being like Scout's Adventures or whatever. It should be Scout and Violet, or even Violet and Scout. But, you know, I'm glad I can pick them out. They're all under the Leapfrog banner. And so if you search for that, you can find them. I will let you know one thing that I've discovered with the Disney offerings of old school cartoons on there. And like the images of Mickey Mouse, Prince and the Pauper, and then there's a couple more. I'll do links and images on the blog so you know what I'm talking about. But the weird thing about those is if you hit like play all, there's 5 or 6 cartoons on each one. And the weird thing is that the first track is actually playing all of them. So so let's say there's 5 episodes. That means there's 6 tracks. The first track plays all 5. And then after that, it goes back and plays 1 through 5 in order, which is a weird setup. So I turn it on, and we're watching it, and I'm doing my work, so I'm not really paying attention. But then I look up, and I realize, like, are we watching the same one that we watched before? And since I don't fully pay attention to everything, I don't always know. And there's, like, 2 ones with giants on there, so I thought, yeah, maybe they brought that guy back. And then I realized, no, this started over almost completely. So that's just an FYI, so you know what's going on. You know, the cool thing about Netflix Instant, there's all kinds of stuff. I know there's a ton of Cartoon Network stuff on there. I would love to get her watching, like, Powerpuff Girls, because that was one I kind of missed out on. And some of the other ones, I know there's, like, Batman Brave and the Bold would kind of be up her alley. And there's a bunch of different Spider-Man ones on there, including Ultimate Spider-Man, which is the show that I do the interviews about. Though the show is not on hiatus, but new episodes aren't coming out for a couple more weeks, and then I'll get back into my interviews. So it's just a cool, I mean, it's a great service for me because I love movies and TV, and you get to find all kinds of crazy, weird documentaries and check those out, and TV shows you might not have checked out. But it's also good for kids because it gives them more things to check out. And again, it can be problematic having your child watch TV all day, and I've been trying to put a pause on the television, turn it off, and go play in her room, which is a way that she winds up stepping away. And then when she naps, I turn it off usually or watch something that I want to. because I figure my brain is pretty much as mushy as it's going to get. You know, it's not going to get any better. So I can watch more TV if I want to. The Netflix Instant gets the Pop-Pop a seal of approval. I know they just recently did something where you can set up different like accounts within your account, different sign-in names and everything. And I think I'm going to do that at least for Lucy, maybe for my wife, because now that we've watched all this stuff that's for her, my, like, top 10 suggestions are all, like, cartoons from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, and then, like, a Highlander movie or something. It's a really funny mix. So If I'm feeling industrious, I might fix that, or I'll probably just leave it. We'll see. But again, Netflix Instant gets Pop Pop's seal of approval for bringing more options into my house, which means I don't have to watch the same movies as often as I used to. So I thank you. All right, gang. Whew. I need to blow my nose again. I'm feeling pretty congested. But I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions or comments, head on over to poppapa.com and leave one in the show notes for this episode, number 25. Again, I'll have the links to the things I mentioned and some pictures to kind of give you a little bit more context, because I know it can be difficult listening to a podcast that's audio and hearing descriptions of things that might not make any sense. If you want to check out more of me, I mentioned United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com. That's where I talk about comic books and movies and books and the like. I'm trying to talk more about music. My buddy Jesse actually just sent me a box of CDs, so I'm thinking I might do kind of a random reach in the box, pull something out, and review that for the week, because I like writing about music, but I find it very difficult to kind of capture everything that's going on in my brain and then put it on a page. But the only way to do it is to try, and plus that might get my wheels working a little bit better, and I can get some music freelance. Who knows? Anyway, if you want to find out what I'm cooking or eating, go to monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. That's kind of my digital memory book when it comes to recipes and eating out at restaurants. And if you want to check me out on Twitter, I'm at Papadich. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang. Have a good week.